This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You're hearing more candidate interviews. Ballots going out soon for the November general election. And today we are talking to Oregon State Treasurer and candidate for Secretary of State, a Democratic candidate, Tobias Reed. Tobias, thanks for being back on with us.
Thanks for the opportunity.
So I guess, first of all, if people aren't familiar with you from past interviews you've done here, talk about your background, both occupationally and in-state government.
Sure. I had the good fortune to be able to choose to be an Oregonian. I was raised in Idaho and came to Oregon for college and have stuck around ever since with a couple of brief exiles. Had the good fortune to work at Nike for a number of years, serve in the state legislature, and I've been your state treasurer for almost the last 8 years. And that's really what brings me to a race for an office that I think really would benefit from some stability and professionalism. While I've been treasurer, managing the state's portfolio of about $140 billion, looking after our credit rating and making it easier for people to build the financial future they want, we've seen a lot of instability in the Secretary of State's office. I think it's easy to forget that in that time, we've had four different Secretaries of State. And I think the central role that office plays has really been hampered by that instability. So working to make sure that our election systems are strong and secure, that the audit function played by the Secretary of State is driven not by politics, but by data and evidence, and that the corporation division inside the Secretary of State's office is a partner to entrepreneurs and businesses, all things that really motivate me so that we can be delivering the results that Oregonians need and want.
And what led to you running for the legislature to begin with while you were busy working with Nike?
Yeah, I had the good fortune, while I was a student, I went to Willamette, which is, of course, right across the street from the Capitol in Salem, and I'd worked in the legislature and worked for other people. I went to business school because I wanted to understand better how business and government relate, and when I was working at Nike, the incumbent legislator decided to retire, and I felt like I could bring some of that private sector orientation and experience to the legislature. You know, I worked in an unusual role as a footwear developer, which is not an artistic role. It's the role of working with factories and with designers to figure out what is the real priority. How do we produce a shoe at scale that is profitable and performs for consumers? And it turns out that's actually really good preparation for policymaking because you have to identify the priorities and deal with trade-offs and produce something that actually works in the end. And so I wanted to bring that idea and that kind of spirit to the legislature. And I still draw on those experiences, and I think it has really served me well.
Do you feel like, as you're running for this statewide office, that having that background mix, both in business and serving in the legislature and as state treasurer, has been beneficial now in what you're hoping to do as Secretary of State?
Absolutely. Yeah, I appreciate that question because I think it does distinguish me as a candidate, bringing the private sector experience. And then there's a real difference between legislative experience, which is important, and executive experience. Having seen both, I can say that with some confidence. It's important in the legislature to pass bills, to approve budgets, but it's a different thing entirely to then be responsible for executing and delivering a program. That's the work that we've done at Treasury, you know, managing $140 billion, a staff of 200, making sure that they have the resources they need, a clear understanding of our mission, the accountability that goes with that. That's very different than just passing a bill. And it's what allows me to feel confident that I can hit the ground running as Secretary of State.
As state treasurer, you know, a lot of people, you know, it's enough of a challenge to keep your own household budget in check. And if you operate a small business, you've got a lot of things there. I can only imagine the number of spreadsheets and documents and things you have to go over to keep track of all these different funds, where monies are allocated. allocated? It seems like a very complex role, and you mentioned having a good-sized staff as well. Do people work in specific areas of finance? How do you kind of break down those job descriptions for some of your key staff?
Yeah, they do. We have a number of different responsibilities. The largest in terms of dollars and the one that is probably best well known is our investment division, and they're responsible for what's known as the Public Employee Retirement Fund, sometimes misnamed as PERS, and that's almost $100 billion. That's what supports the retirement of public servants, the firefighters and teachers and public health nurses that work for all of us. We have to make sure that dollars are there to pay their retirement in the end. The second biggest component is what's known as the short-term fund. That's kind of a money market account for state agencies and local governments who might take in significant revenue at one point and then use them over the course of a year or a budget cycle. So we make sure that those are available, that they're earning money, but they are liquid and available to be used. We also issue all the debt for the state, so the bonds that we sell to finance infrastructure. That involves a lot of interaction with world financial markets. And we have a series of financial empowerment programs that help people save for retirement and college. And people are really dedicated. There is no doubt that Oregonians ought to be proud of the truly world-class team that is at Treasury looking after their money, being really a financial hub for Oregon.
Now, as state treasurer, you are constitutionally limited to serving just two terms, correct?
Yes, that's correct. The three constitutional offices, governor, secretary of state, and treasurer, have two-term limits. You're 100% right.
And what led to your decision to, given the fact that you couldn't do another term as state treasurer, why run for secretary of state?
Well, the short answer is because there is a need. I did not expect to be in this position. I thought my time as state treasurer was going to come to an end, and I was going to look for a way to put what I'd learned to use in the private sector or the nonprofit world, higher education or something. And Secretary Fagan resigned. That's a well-documented story. And it just, you know, that decision meant that Secretary Griffin Vallade, who is now Secretary of State, would be the fourth Secretary of State in office while I've been treasurer. And just watching that instability, what I perceive to be a distraction from these core missions around elections and audits, the corporation division, archives, I felt like the experience I've had as state treasurer puts me in a position to try to bring some stability and professionalism to the Secretary of State's office. And so I've always been about trying to make things work better, trying to deliver results, trying to execute, trying to solve problems. And it seems to me there's a definite need and an opportunity for me to put those skills to work in service of the state I'm fortunate to be part of. So I'm excited about it. We're 27 days away from the election, and feeling good about the conversations we've been having with Oregonians and looking forward to the result and hopefully to stepping into this new office.
I imagine if I were to go down the street and ask people on the street what the Secretary of State does, a lot of people would have a fairly vague idea. How would you explain the role, the job of the Secretary of State?
Yeah, I think the most, in that sense, it is a little bit similar to the treasurer, because I spend a lot of time doing that, just exactly that, explaining what it is. So the most well-known responsibility of Secretary of State is the elections function, and that involves working with the 36 county clerks around Oregon to make sure that elections are held with integrity and with the highest standards, that everyone who is eligible to vote is registered and finds it convenient to do that, that people have confidence in our systems and the results. The second is the audit function, making sure that the taxpayer dollars are spent efficiently, effectively, appropriately, and that programs and agencies are doing what they're supposed to. That responsibility follows wherever state money goes. So it would certainly include state agencies, but it might also include a school board, a school district, or a local government, and really trying to narrow the margin or the gap between good intentions in Oregon and execution that doesn't always measure up to that same standard is a really important function. Every business that does does business in Oregon has to register with the Secretary of State's office in the Corporation Division. So there's an opportunity to make that process more convenient, easier, and really turn that office into a partner as opposed to a barrier. And finally, the Secretary of State is also responsible for Oregon's archives, the record of our state, and making sure that those records are not only accurate but accessible to people, that they are a real reflection of what has gone on in this place over time. It's a really wide range of responsibilities, and I want to make sure that people have confidence both in the specific responsibilities of the Secretary of State's office and that work, but as an entree to the rest of government, I think the Secretary of State has a unique opportunity, and I'm excited to extend that mission.
The archive portion is one that probably a lot of people aren't familiar with, and when you back up and think about how technology has changed, how records are kept,
yes,
and you go back over time, that's a kind of a big responsibility there.
Yeah, it's exciting, frankly, because you're right. Things have changed. And even apart from that change, I think there is always work to be done to make sure that what is captured is a full reflection of the rich history of this place. And, you know, we have to acknowledge that it's sort of an arbitrary thing to say, 1859 Oregon became a state, but it's not as if people weren't here before that. And it's certainly, you know, back to time immemorial. We have strong relationships with the sovereign tribal nations of Oregon, and those parts of the story need to be reflected as well, and making that accessible so that people can see themselves, can see their roots and history. There are things to learn from that, and probably a lot of opportunities that might be realized if that data and those records are more easily accessible.
In this election year, and even this week, there have been concerns about Oregon's motor voter law prompting actions by the governor and the current Secretary of State the past couple of days. What's your evaluation of what has taken place and also the actions that have been called for by the governor and the current Secretary of State?
Yeah, let's be really clear about this. This is a major error, a major, major mistake. And it's not something that I'm happy about. I believe as a value that we're a better state when everyone who is eligible is registered and finds it convenient to vote. But that has to be followed. That goal, which I think is correct, and I assume everyone agrees with that, has to be followed with good execution. And it is clear that there have been significant errors in the DMV and the Secretary of State's office. And so if and when I am Secretary of State, job number one for me is to review the review that is now going on, to make sure that the DMV is following through on the changes that they have outlined. And if there are additional steps that need to be taken, to make sure that they are taken. No one who is not eligible to vote should be part of our process. We have to make sure that our elections are up to the highest standards and that people have confidence in them. That is the most important responsibility for me from day one.
Some people have challenged the idea that you automatically register folks just because they are getting a state license or state identification. What's your thoughts there?
Well, I think it's just a fundamental question of what are we trying to do? And if it obviously people who are not eligible to vote should not be part of the process. That's where we get back to that same question of what is our goal? What are the policies and procedures and what's the execution like? I have a fundamental value that we should be seeking to make it convenient for everyone who is eligible to vote to do that. And so I think the concept is a good one, but what we've seen lately is really bad execution that follows on that. So then the second question is, are the policies and procedures appropriate to meet the goal? That's what that review is undertaking to find out right now. That's a good step. And then, are people doing their jobs correctly? People need to be held accountable for that. To that standard. And that's what I will do as Secretary of State.
As you look at the situation, you look at the role of the Secretary of State, sometimes people think that's an office that shouldn't be politically motivated. And in fact, even the question comes up, should Secretary of State, should that be a nonpartisan office?
Well, in a lot of other states, that might be an easier question to answer in the affirmative. But there is another role that the Secretary of State plays in Oregon, which is easily forgotten until it becomes relevant. And that is that Oregon does not have a lieutenant governor. When the Secretary of State is elected, Secretary of State is next in line in succession should something happen in the governor's office. And we've seen that in recent years when Governor Kitzhaber resigned and then Secretary of State Brown became Governor Brown. So I think it is useful for people to have a sense of who the Secretary of State is. But I can tell you, and I can point to my record as treasurer, that I approach the responsibilities of the office from a very nonpartisan point of view. That's been true for me as treasurer, where my fiduciary responsibilities do not connect to my party affiliation. And the same would be true as Secretary of State. It's essential that someone in that office be about executing, be about making sure that everyone's vote counts, that audits are driven by performance, not by a predetermined political agenda. And people shouldn't take my word for this. Look at my record as treasurer and be assured that if I'm Secretary of State, I'm going to be about execution for all of Oregon.
One of the other roles of being Secretary of State is that puts you on the state land board. You're already familiar with that. Kind of explain how that works.
Yeah, it's a strange thing to realize that I'm the senior member of the land board now, having been there longer than anyone else who's a current member. It's a really interesting board, as you say, made up of the governor and the Secretary of State and the treasurer, with the responsibility of looking out for trust lands. These are lands that were given to the state by the federal government with the responsibility of using them to support public education. In addition, it is the submersible land beneath the navigable waterways of the state. So think about land beneath lakes and rivers, and the territorial sea, three miles out from the coast. And the obligation is to manage those resources for the greatest permanent value, which is sometimes easy to say and hard to identify, because it means we can't disadvantage the future and pursuing something in the present, or the reverse. And that results in challenging questions around forest land and range land and how we might site cables that come out of the ocean that are connected to the internet, for example. And all of this means, I think, we have work to do to make sure the communities are well consulted in those decisions, that the fees and processes that are involved here are not as antiquated as they are now. A cable meant something different when the current regulations in a lot of cases were established. So we've got work to do to modernize those, but it's a really interesting and challenging group, and I hope to continue in my service on the land board.
As you travel around the state campaigning during the summer and this fall, what are you hearing from people about what they want out of the Secretary of State's office?
I think they want stability. I'm hearing a pretty consistent theme of, gosh, we want someone who's going to do the job, who's going to be dedicated to the less headline generating work of making sure that people have the resources they need, that the standards and expectations are clear. I think they want to be reassured about the integrity of our election systems, that they want audits that are not, about anecdotes or about weaponizing that authority, but about really delivering results and narrowing that gap between execution and intent. I'm not someone who's going to be who doesn't seek to be in the headlines. Sometimes I'm criticized, in a joking way. People say, I don't see the Treasury in a lot of headlines, and I'm usually quick to say, I think that's a good thing. We've been about execution and about delivering results, and that is, I think, in line with what I'm hearing that people want in the Secretary of State's office as well.
We've got the bulk of the ballots going out in a week. What's ahead for your campaign in this final month?
Good question. I think we continue to try to connect with people around the state. Most people, I think, to the extent, well, most people are living their lives. Lives are busy and complicated these days. People are trying to get dinner on the table, keep their jobs, and get the kids to do their homework. And to the extent they're thinking about campaigns and politics, you know, they're paying attention to the presidential election that's in front of us. Maybe they've heard, I'm saying this with a wink and a smile, there's a congressional election as well. But most people are not giving lots of attention to the Secretary of State's office. And a lot of our effort is to say, yes, of course, vote your preference for president, pay attention to who represents you in Congress, but don't forget the rest of the ballot. People are, I think, more apt sometimes to be tuned in to their local legislators and local officials. And these statewide down ballot races are sometimes feel like the forgotten territory, the no person's land. So we're really trying to demonstrate what matters here and the strong record and case that we have to make for my candidacy. Excited about those conversations. And we eventually will turn from the phase of the campaign where we've been preparing to deliver our message. People are starting to tune in. When they have their ballots, they'll be more apt to listen to those messages. So we'll be seeking to communicate with voters and deliver our agenda.
How much of the state have you been able to be in during the campaign so far?
Quite a lot. I don't know if I could quantify that in a real way, but I've certainly been to Roseburg repeatedly, in Coos Bay and Eastern Oregon and the North Coast and Central Oregon as well. I think we've been to a very large portion of the state. And that's really nice because it's not my first time showing up there. Having been treasurer for the last 8 years, I've had the opportunity to build relationships with a lot of people and a lot of groups around the state. And I think that really has made for a fun and enjoyable campaign and hopefully a successful one as we come down the stretch.
As ballots approach people's mailboxes here in a few days and people start to consider the race, like you said, there are other ones that are probably attracting more of their attention. What are maybe just a few key points that you would differentiate yourself from versus your opponent?
I appreciate that. In fact, I think it would be a challenge to look across the state and find a race that has a bigger contrast in our race than our race. I am someone who really believes in inviting people into our process and making sure that our elections are secure and inclusive. My opponent has sued to overturn mail-in voting. I show up to work. I want to make sure that I'm doing the work. My opponent is not eligible to run for re-election to the state Senate because he walked out of the job. I also think that if I'm Secretary of State, I'm going to certify an election even if the process is legitimate, even if I don't like the results. My opponent was not willing to commit to that in a public interview. And I think that's a good example of how I'm not going to bring an extreme political agenda to an office that is about delivering for Oregonians. This is a really significant difference. And you don't have to guess what it's like to have me as a statewide elected official. You got almost 8 years of data now as to how I approach this responsibility. And I take that very seriously. And I'm looking forward to the possibility of serving as Secretary of State.
And what's your campaign website?
It's very easy. TobiasReed.com. My Reed is like read a book. So TobiasReed.
All right, Tobias Reed, Democratic candidate for Secretary of State, current state treasurer. Tobias, thanks for being on today.
Thanks so much.
1256 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.